Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
911, what are you reporting?
I got a strain going on out here. Something just killed my dog.
Something killed your dog?
My dog went flying through the air over the tree. I don't know how it did it.
Okay.
Damn it, I'm really confused. All I saw was my dog coming over the fence, and Nate was dead when she hit the ground. I didn't see any cars. All I saw was my dog coming over the fence.
What are you reporting?
We got someone or something crawling around out here.
Did you see what it was?
It was. It was standing up. I'm out here looking through the window now and I don't see anything. I don't want to go outside. Jesus Christ, you better...
Sheriff?
Tia!
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him. Uh-oh.
Hey, everybody. This is Les Stroud. Yes, yes, I know. A.K.A. Survivor Man. And you're listening to Brian on Sasquatch Odyssey.
Guys, and welcome back to Sasquatch Odyssey. Thank you guys so much for clicking play. It is Wednesday. We've got some story time lined up for you, but as always, I want to start the show by inviting you. If you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. You can get me at brian@sasquatchodyssey.net. You can head over to the website, check it out, become a member there, and help support the show. As I said, it's Wednesday. We've got some story time lined up for you. I've been trying to drop a little extra content in on you throughout the week. And one of the things I've really enjoyed doing is pulling the stories off of different sources and bringing them to you guys in narration form. And I hope you guys are enjoying them as much as I enjoy reading them for you. So please leave me some feedback. Let me know what you think about story time and all the other content that I'm putting out for you. I'm working on some other things and things with other shows that hopefully I can bring you guys in the coming months. We'll continue to do what we always do. You'll get the regular Bigfoot Encounter show on Friday. I'm going to drop in some paranormal stuff on Sundays, and then we'll do some story time. I'm working on another history show for you guys tomorrow. Haven't really decided what I'm going to do for that show yet, but I will drop something in your feed tomorrow that's history related with Bigfoot. So stay tuned for that. If you haven't already done so, please take a second. Rate and review the show. And if you're not following us on Instagram, go over and check out the show's Instagram page at Sasquatch Odyssey. There is a link in the show notes to do that. Follow us over there. I post a lot of photos over there. And you can also message me on Instagram as well. I respond to those just like the emails. So if you're not following us over there, we really appreciate you doing that. And also there's the Facebook fans group, Sasquatch Odyssey Podcast Fans. You can go over, join that group. And we got probably, 1,600 people in the group at this point. So lots of interesting discussions. I post things over there. I drop in and do some live stuff here and there, which I need to do this week. I may pop in and do like a Facebook Live and maybe get to interact with you guys some. So enough of that. I know you're tired of hearing me talk. I'm going to let the music play. You guys sit back, relax, and enjoy your show. Terror of the Mississippi Tusked Ape. Legends of a giant human-like creatures are surprisingly common in the United States. It was deep in the heart of the South that one of the most unusual types of these creatures was first sighted, a tusked ape man. The residual impact of strange encounters still lingers in the Mississippi woods to this very day. The first encounter, 1868. The first report of this strange creature surfaced way back in 1868, tucked away in the comfortable southern landscape of Mississippi. A group of hunters from Franklin County were tracking game in the woods accompanied by their pack of hunting dogs. The group had already made their way into the woods before noticing that something wasn't right. They found odd large footprints in the ground, and they were fresh. According to the men, the tracks appeared to have been made by some creature with backwards facing feet. The men knew the creature wasn't far. The dogs were barking and rowling themselves in defense. The men hardly had enough time to speculate before this huge, monstrous beast made itself known. It emerged from the trees and stood before the men. The report suggests that it was no taller than a human, but it had large muscle structures. The men recounted with certainty. The beast had long, thick, dark brown hair covering its body and two large tusks protruding from the top row of its teeth. It towered before the men, menacing and wild. The hunters, fearing for their lives, released their dogs, hoping to thwart the beast and escape safely. But things quickly took a dark turn when it grabbed one of the dogs, killing it with a chomp with its incredible tusked mouth. In the final moments of this terrifying confrontation, the men fired their guns. The beast roared and shrieked with a sound that they claimed they'd never heard before or since. It ran towards the Mississippi River, where it began to swim. The men knew then that their pursuit was over. The beast had managed to escape the group of hunters. What did the Mississippi tusked ape look like? Following the initial sighting, residents in the area began to spread the warning of their story. The tale of the creature spread, and the beast became known as the Mississippi tusked ape. Some of the key descriptive features were long, thick, dark brown hair, two large tusks growing over the top row of teeth, large, backwards-facing feet, height similar to that of a human, larger muscle structure than a human, spotted in and around southeast Mississippi. For hundreds of years, thousands of people have shared incredible stories of these strange hairy beasts. Intense sightings persist into this day. The incredible 1868 tusked ape encounter has been shrouded in uncertainty for more than a century. The people who reside in the area maintain this legend to this day. Though the men who confronted this incredible creature are long since gone, the story of their fateful night lingers on. So if you're planning to explore the woods in southeast Mississippi, beware of the descendants of the tusked ape. Is Bigfoot in Louisiana? The Wild Woman of Dugdamona and Other Sasquatch Encounters. Let me start out by saying that I do not believe Bigfoot exists in North America, but I'm open to the possibility that there may be unknown hominids in the vast expanses of Asia. What I find fascinating is the Bigfoot phenomenon itself. What exactly are all these people seeing out there in the woods? Bigfoot, the historical record. The creature is said to have a humanoid face, stands between 6 and 8 feet tall, and is covered in dark or reddish hair, and smells to high heaven. Bigfoot tracks usually have 5 toes, but researchers claim that in northwest Louisiana and east Texas, they often have 3 toes, with 1 bulbous big toe and 2 smaller ones. Bigfoot likes to arrange sticks in strange patterns, twist and break off large limbs and saplings, and knock down small trees to mark out a trail or stake out territory. Knocking on trees with a stick is also common and may be a way of signaling one another. One researcher told me that Bigfoot can make sounds ranging from soft whispers to peacock-like cries and terrifying screams and roars. According to him, my family heard a Bigfoot back in the mid-1960s when we lived in the piney woods of northern Wynn Parish, not far from the Dugdamona River. Meet another wild creature of Louisiana. The newspaper claims she is as fleet as a deer, and in one leap she cleared a route 7 feet high. She uses no language and speaks only gibberish. During the wee hours of one bright moonlit morning, I was awakened by a cacophony of sounds. Our dogs were barking frantically, and the cows and dogs on my uncle's place next door were also agitated. Something was making its way in the dark down Highway 505 in front of our house. It made a noise like I'd never heard before or since. Starting out in a low moan, it rose to a high pitch, like a woman screaming, and then it fell back into a low moan. The next morning, I was reluctant to say anything, thinking maybe I'd been dreaming, but I soon discovered that my entire family had heard it. 1 month later, on another moonlit night, we heard it again. But at this time, we were watching television. We chalked it up to a cougar, which were sometimes reported in the area, and have jokingly referred to it ever since as the Dugdamona Wild One. When I relayed this story to a Bigfoot researcher, he asked me, "Did it sound sort of like the old World War I air raid sirens?" "Yeah," I said. "A siren is exactly how I remember it." "Definitely," he replied. "Definitely, that was a Bigfoot." The Louisiana Bigfoot has even made it onto television with at least two programs focusing on sightings at Cotton Island in the northern Rapides Parish near Goldana in the Natchitoches Parish. I hunt around Goldana, so I have to be extra careful from now on. In 2001, the Alexandria Daily Town Talk covered a Bigfoot sighting in central Louisiana after Earl Whitstone claimed to have seen one while cruising for timber for a logging company. "It was hairy and looked like a human in a way," he said. "I hollered at him and he took off running. It happened so quick, I didn't have time to be scared." 2 days later, Carl Dubois was with Whitstone in the same tract of timber when he saw the creature again. "When we saw it, Earl hollered at it, and it ran off towards the bayou," Dubois said. I wouldn't have believed it. One thing I've noticed in reading about Bigfoot is that a lot of the reports are simply unusual noises, smells, eyes shining in the dark, and an eerie feeling of being watched. Are people really encountering an unknown creature, or are they simply experiencing something out of the ordinary and mistaking it for Bigfoot? If someone unexpectedly runs into a bear or hog in the woods where they've never seen one before, might their minds play tricks on them? Feral hogs, for example, have a distinct musty smell. It would certainly be an assault on the senses for anyone who's never smelled one before. And has there been hard evidence? With thousands of trail cameras in the woods these days, surely someone would have snapped a clear photo of Bigfoot if he's really creeping around. As one wildlife official told me, the two things that they should be recording are Bigfoot and Black Panthers, but we have yet to see a photograph of either. Grayish brown haired creature jumps a barbed wire fence, 1998. In 1998, during the cold winter months of February, two young men, approximately 16 years old, were rendered speechless after encountering what they claim could have only been a Bigfoot. While on a camping trip on family-owned property near the Gus Engeling Wildlife Management Area, the two teens allegedly got a look at a massive upright creature from about 20 yards away. At approximately 2 a.m., the young men were spotlighting for rabbits. The two teens were slowly fanning out to spotlight when they saw something much larger than a rabbit. Just ahead of the light, they noticed something big, allegedly 8 feet tall, and moving quickly trying to avoid the light. The boys said the creature appeared to have grayish-brown hair covering its body and long arms. The creature allegedly crossed a 5-foot strand of barbed wire fence with no hesitation and great ease. The witnesses reported hearing no sound in the event of the crossing. This report was published after the two boys' parents saw a special report with Jonah Fitzgerald on NBC Channel 56 of Tyler and Longview about the TBRC and Bigfoot sightings in East Texas. Parents of the two teens contacted the TBRC and put the boys in touch with researcher and investigator Craig Wooleader. Wooleader's report said that the two young witnesses sat in stunned silence for a few moments before leaving the area as quickly as possible. Hunters regularly claim that they encounter the wild man of East Texas due to the amount of time they spend in the woods. Hunters are outdoors in remote areas significantly more than the average person, seeking the perfect hunting spot. Though hunters' reports of Bigfoot encounters are perhaps more lengthy than others, they're certainly not the only ones encountering the creatures. According to the TBRC, in October of 1998, another report was made near the southeastern Houston and Anderson County border. The report did not come from a hunter, but rather a local man that pulled his vehicle over in order to relieve himself. The man allegedly stepped from his truck into the edge of the woods approximately 20 yards away and began to take care of his business. The witness said that he began to hear leaves crunching under what sounded like heavy footsteps. Nervous, the man quickly finished his business and ran back to his truck away from the woods. According to the report made by the TBRC, as the witness made his way back to his vehicle, he noticed that when he stopped walking, so would the footsteps of the unknown stalker that was coming from the darkness of the woods. Suddenly, the heavy footsteps that had been stalking him began to gain speed. The frightened witness bolted for his truck. He then jumped in and fled the area. The man claims that as he was speeding off, he looked in his rearview mirror and saw something big and black standing on two legs in the middle of the road behind him.
Stay tuned for more Sasquatch Odyssey. We'll be right back after these messages.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The Fur-Coated Man, Miller County, 1969. We have thought a long time before writing this, because I'm getting on in years and my memory might not be on target anymore. I was a married man in 1969 with two strapping sons. Lonnie was almost 11 years old, and Seth had 12 years on him. It was a cold and rainy day, and we were returning from a family get-together over the holidays. My wife and I were in the pickup and the boys rode in the back, in the bed of the truck under tarps in their sleeping bags. We had left around 8 or 9 at night and headed north on 71 to Texarkana where we farm. The road isn't that wide, so I suddenly see this thing a ways off in the distance in the high beams of the truck, but I didn't know what I was seeing. The closer we got, I started thinking, "That's strange," and knocked on the window of the back of the truck to get my boys' attention. My wife was asleep, but she woke up the more noise that I made, and she sat up in her seat. That's when she sees the same figure I was looking at, and she says, "It's a man walking in a fur coat." It was very cold that night, and she thought, it being Christmas and all, we should offer to give this character a ride. But it didn't take long before we got close enough to realize that was no man in a fur coat, and we weren't stopping to give it a ride. As we passed it, the man or thing stopped walking and just stood there, dumb-like, staring at the headlights. It couldn't have been startled because we were coming on for quite a bit of distance. It raised its arm to shield its eyes from the light, and the arm and hand were thick, hairy, and muscular. The big underside of the palm of the hand was pink and brownish towards the light, and it pretty much blocked the details of its face. The boys stood up and looked over the cab of the truck at this thing. They went silent, and their mouths fell open. What was it? It had shaggy hair, all brown as I recollect. Long over the face, but it seemed like a man's face, from what I could make out, with all the hair and whiskers, with shorter hair on the body. It had hair on the legs, but had caked up mud from the knees down, like it had been wading through a swamp or bayou or something. I remember it being quite tall, huge in the chest. As we passed this thing, it screamed and yelled like it was in pain or maybe in terror. A strange noise I'd never heard before. My wife and I looked at each other, and the boys screamed out of fear and dove under the tarp. I remember thinking as we drove off, what was that thing? I don't think we talked about it anymore that night. If we did, I don't remember what was said. During milking the next day, the boys asked me what we saw on the road last night. But I didn't have an answer for them, so we dropped the subject for the next 10 years. Until one day, my brother and his crew came to visit, and they mentioned the Falk monster. I listened and asked him to describe what he had heard about the thing, and then we told him about what we saw in 1969. His mouth fell open and he said, "You probably seen the Falk monster. Y'all were on the road to Falk, right?" I don't know what else to tell you. The screamer on the road is all I know, besides it was hairy and good-sized. We retired and live near Blanchard now. There are rumors of the monster from years ago, but nothing in the papers lately. If you hear something about it that's more recent, we want to know about it. I hope this helps you in your research. Bigfoot seen in Trinidad, Texas, summer 1992. It was the summer of 92, and I was mowing a 200-acre hayfield on the ranch that I worked for. The specific location was on the banks of the Trinity River. It was midday, and the temperature that summer was well into the triple digits. I decided to take a break and get off my tractor and went down to get some relief from the sun and the shade on the riverbank. When I got there, I noticed there were several large turtle shells that had been torn in half and the insides were eaten out. These were all fresh and they still had blood on them. I counted 24 halves, which translates into 12 turtles in all. These were not small turtles either. They were all about 12 inches or larger across the back of the shell. Right next to the turtle shells was a huge butt print in the dirt. I was amazed at this huge butt print, and who would eat all these raw turtles? Who would have the strength to rip those turtles in half like that? While I was observing the scene, I got this really bad feeling that I was being watched, and then I heard a deep growl. I looked around, but I didn't see anything. But I could feel something was watching me. So considering the situation, I decided it would be best to go back to the tractor and finish mowing instead of hanging around that area any longer. As I was making my way around and I got about halfway back to the tractor, a sparkle caught my eye. I looked at it and there was a creature standing at the edge of the field in the weeds. The first thing that got me about this thing was its size. The weeds came around to its waist area. I'm 5'11" and they came right up to my armpits. So the fact that the weeds only came up to this thing's waist meant it had to be huge. As I walked along, I continued to stare at this thing because I felt like if I took my eyes off of it, it'd be gone. As I got closer, I could make out even more detail. It was covered with hair, but not thickly covered. You could see skin under the hair, and it began to sparkle as the sweat was glistening in the sun. The hair was about 1 to 2 inches long, and I could clearly see defined muscles in the torso. I remember distinctly how muscular the chest was. The creature was light tan in color and the skin was darker in color. And I remember that the head came up to a small point. I was trying to get a better look at the face, but I had to turn the corner, so I took my eyes off of it. And when I made the corner, I looked back and it was gone. The closest I ever got to it was about 70 yards away.
How deeper are you? It's kind of getting...
Hi, I'm Ryan Willis. I'm the president and founder of the Trent Sasquatch Society. We're here today to go investigate what I was told footprints were found. We'll go in and take a look and check it out and see if we can find anything. A lot of the experts we talk to say that, you know, you should keep returning to the same areas where there have been, tracks and sightings and things like that found before. So that's what we'll do today.
Yeah, hi, my name's Sabrina, and I'm one of the social media coordinators with the Trent Sasquatch Society. So we're looking for maybe tracks on the road. I'm not expecting to see any just because it is a road and it is an exposed area. So if we were to see tracks, it would probably be on any trails in the forest. I don't know if we'll come across any trails, but maybe in the snow as well, we could see some footprints if we look out into the forest. Most of the time when people have a sighting, they're not going out looking for Sasquatch. They're camping or just working around their property and they just happen to see something, right? So maybe the fact that we're out here today purposefully looking for Sasquatch isn't optimal, but...
I don't know if you've heard this before, but a lot of the experts say the, you know, the Sasquatches will communicate, like, by a tree knocks and things like that. So I can't get it that loud, and it kind of hurts my hands without the gloves, but... We'll try. I mean, this is kind of a crappy stick. We actually broke the good stick, so this is kind of funny that this is just what we could find today. So, you know, it's unlikely we'll, you know, hear anything in the middle of the day, and who knows, we'll keep our ears open. And
what would you be waiting to hear? What would you want to hear back?
They would respond with wood knocks in return.
Hi, I'm Allison Adam, and I'm part of this Trent Sasquatch Society as well. A lot of people, you know, think it's a joke at first, and I'm like, you should join. Everyone I've told, either they tell me I'm crazy, or they like to hear a little bit more about it. I kind of fall a little in the middle. I mean, I'm not ruling it out, and I know that, you know, there's been a lot of evidence out there, so I guess I could say I believe, you know, that there might be something out there. So,
what would you have to see to push you over to one side or the other?
I'd have to see something significant, maybe. I'd maybe have to see one to really know for sure, but you know, there's definitely something out there.
I haven't seen too much, unfortunately, but I've only been doing this for maybe a few years now. As soon as we started talking to many of the experts, they say, well, you know, I've been doing this for years and years, and it took me so long before I really saw anything so significant myself, you know. But a lot of them, when they come out, you know, there's a lot of stigma around coming out and saying you saw a Sasquatch, right? So I don't know. I just don't think this many people would come out and put their jobs and livelihoods on the line and things like that just to say, oh, I saw a Sasquatch. We talk to experts every week, and they have all this evidence. I'd say that's what keeps me believing. Yeah. I just dumped that whole patch of water, and it was like 2 meters long.
Bigfoot, Sasquatch, we have a bunch of names to throw.
Yeah.
What? Where do you fall on naming?
So Bigfoot and Sasquatch are pretty interchangeable.
I probably prefer Sasquatch. I think it kind of sounds the most professional. Sometimes you say Bigfoot and people go, haha, Bigfoot, you know?
We call our club members Squatchers. We're all Squatchers.
Yeah. This is just a little gadget my dad got me for Christmas. It has just the Bigfoot sounds. So you can hear here, there's a howl. And then there's a snort. You can also get a roar. No, my parents all, they think it's, you know, pretty cool. And they know I've had an interest for a long time. And, you know, I kind of grew up watching Finding Bigfoot and things like that. And I'd love to just keep doing whatever I can with it and take it as far as I can and try to, you know, find it. And
I'm not sure how far I'll take it after I graduate. But, you know, it is definitely fun in the meantime when I'm at school and stuff, too. And it's still going to be an interest of mine probably for, you know, for years to come after that.
And how are you feeling? We didn't see anything today, per se, but
no.
What keeps you going?
Just talking with the other researchers and knowing that, you know, I am based in an area where Sasquatch activity is a lot more limited than other parts of the world. So I just think hearing about these other areas way deep in the forest in British Columbia, and just knowing I want to go to places like that and just learn all I can. And yeah, I guess that's what keeps me going. Just talking with the experts and learning more every week. And the more I do that, just the more I know I want to keep going out and looking and doing everything I can with this.
I know there's something out there. It's just a matter of being in the right place at the right time. They say you don't gotta go home, but you can't stay here. And though I don't wanna be alone in the world out there. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.